From the Play Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Former NFL offensive lineman with the Detroit Lions, Lomas Brown, going to stop by at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, 4:20 p.m. Pacific. Justin Termini from Sirius XM NBA Radio will join us at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And then Mark Hochman will stop by in the final hour of the show, the very talented talk show host from the Miami area. But first up, producing the extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Kiki.
Hot Take Kiki.
I got to start off the show with something that we talked about in all the fighting that was going on, I guess the 2 years prior to this past football season, between the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson. We all know how it started. Right during the COVID year at the Super Bowl, Russ was in attendance, sees Brady wins another championship, then goes and runs on the Dan Patrick Show and goes, I'm sick and tired of watching everyone else win the Super Bowl, but me win another one. I want to go down as one of the greatest players of all time, greatest quarterback of all time. Changes have to be made. And then out of nowhere, his agent, I think it was Adam Schefter, released four teams, and he did the whole, I don't want to get traded, but if you could find it in your hearts to trade me, or you feel like you want to trade me, these are the only four teams I would accept to trade to. And I think we all logically looked at that at the time, if you're recalling history, and I remember I said it this way, Russ could want to get traded, but there was no chance he was going to get traded that offseason because of what the dead cap number was. But then you looked at where it was the following year. He was setting up his departure, and then a year later, we all know the trade gets done with the Denver Broncos, and this year was an absolute disaster for not only the Denver Broncos, but mainly Russell Wilson, because he was the face of that terrible season, and he just got clowned everywhere he went, local radio, national radio, local television, national television, it didn't matter. Russell Wilson was the punchline to almost every joke this year in the sporting world. But when we went through that time period of how the Seahawks were going to try to save this relationship with Russell Wilson, I remember Hot Take Kiki and yours truly having a conversation. Well, if you're the Seahawks, don't you maybe think about moving on from Pete Carroll? Like, that was always the part to me that was inconceivable, and also to Hickey. Because I remember we both had this conversation. If you're Seattle, why is it even on the table that you wouldn't even entertain the thought of getting rid of either John Schneider, Pete Carroll, or both? Because a lot of times, right, we talk about the quarterback position as it being not only the most important position in the NFL, but the most important position in all of sports. And if you have someone that we used to thought was like this great quarterback and could save an entire organization, and you know Pete Carroll is up there in age, even though he still looks like he's a young guy and he doesn't look like he's 70 years old. We know what the age is of Pete Carroll, and it's like, how much longer is he going to do this? Don't you rather side with the player than the coach? So we kept on asking that question, and every insider nationally based in Seattle would come on, and if you recall, many of the Seattle media was adamant that Russ wasn't going to get traded. And like every single person from the Seattle media that we had on, I pressed them. And I was like, I don't get what you're saying. Like, how can you not look at what happened a year ago? Oh, his agent. Is Russ's agent, I think, a baseball agent or something like that as well? There was some reasoning with the agent. Oh, he's not a traditional agent, so this is an unconventional matter. I'm like, dude, they put the four teams out there. So that never made sense to me, and why people thought a year later it was going to totally be different. But anytime I asked a Seattle-based media member on the air, on this show, would they ever consider getting rid of Pete Carroll if that means keeping Russell Wilson, It was a quick no shot. There is no way they're getting rid of Pete Carroll. So today, and I can't say I'm stunned by this news, and Hickey, I don't know about you, I'm kind of surprised how long it took for this news to come out, but in The Athletic detailing this past season for the Denver Broncos, the trade and all that, it was reported in The Athletic that sources said that Russ tried to get Pete Carroll and John Schneider fired, and ultimately the Seattle Seahawks elected to stick with their head football coach and also their general manager. And imagine if it went the other way, where they got rid of Pete Carroll, they got rid of John Schneider, and then Russ got all the power. Like, that's what basically happened. Russ got all the power in Denver. Nathaniel Hackett was just a head coach in title. You read that article, we all know who the face of that organization was, who the leader is of that organization, who's the guy calling all the shots. It's Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson. And I get you could argue in Seattle, you have Tyler Lockett, you have DK Metcalf, but it's not like you have scrubs in Denver. Like, you have a better defense in Denver, no doubt, compared to Seattle. Seattle has a better offense, but it's not like the Denver offense is something that should have been as bad at where it was. Like, imagine if you're Seattle, Hickey, and Jody Allen, right, basically said to Russ, we'll get rid of John Schneider, Pete Carroll. And let's say they didn't get Sean Payton right away, and that's the guy that Russ wants, and now they're obviously together in Denver. But let's say Nathaniel Hackett, let's just say, ended up in Seattle, whoever it was, ended up in Seattle, like a first-time head coach. And not only did you run John Schneider, who's a highly respected executive in the sport, not only would you have run Pete Carroll out of town, right, who is going to be a Hall of Fame football coach, and then Russ didn't get to the playoffs in a weak NFC. Imagine how bad that would have looked for the Seattle Seahawks. So I actually commend the Seahawks, because what they did was something that if we probably would have put up a poll question about a year and a half ago, would you rather keep, if you're the Seahawks, Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll? I would probably think like 80%, and that may be benevolent, if not more than that, 80% would probably say they would side with the quarterback in Russell Wilson over Pete Carroll. And you look a year later, I know that Sean Payton is going to Denver and is in Denver, and maybe he could resurrect Russ's career, but Russ is a major, major question mark. So I commend the Seahawks, and it is actually very telling of what the Seahawks actually think of Russell Wilson, where Pete was his biggest believer, and then I think really, Russell Wilson thought too highly of himself and thought he was a whole lot better than what he is. And Pete goes, I know you better than anyone. You want to go somewhere else? You know, we'll be fine, because you're not as great as what you think you are. And remember all his insecurities of Russell Wilson when he won that Super Bowl? Oh, was it the defense? Oh, talking about Marshawn Lynch and Pete Carroll, all three of those areas getting more praise than Russell Wilson. I think Pete kind of knew down deep, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Russ is some bum, I'm not saying Russ is some bad player, but when he doesn't have a lot of things going right for him, like a lot of quarterbacks, and when you're not in the right system, and when you're not in the right organization, he probably knew that Russ wasn't going to be as great. And remember, right, we've had Trey Wingo on this show, and this must have been like, what, 3 years ago by now? Where Trey Wingo said, and I forget which draft class it was, but Trey Wingo was talking about how they were really in love with a certain quarterback. Oh, I remember who it was. It was the draft class. Was it the Daniel Jones draft class? I think it was. It may have been. I'll figure out what year it was. But anyway, the whole line and the whole point by Trey Wingo was that they were interested in a quarterback in the draft. And Russ got wind of that, and this was a while ago. And Russ said, oh, no, 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 no. I need to get this deal done. We need to get an extension done right now based off the latest and last extension that he did wind up getting with the Seattle Seahawks. So even then, Hickey, I think a few years ago, they started to doubt Russell Wilson a little bit. And yeah, It was the draft class that had Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, and then also Drew Lock. They fell in love with one quarterback, and I guess they were trying to make a play for one of those quarterbacks. I want to say that the name was Drew Lock from what Trey Wingo was saying on this show. But you go back and you even think about then, that was kind of Pete tipping his hand a little bit saying, yeah, Russ, you're good, but you're not all that. And if you want to go play a system where it's let Russ cook and you're going to throw the ball like 40-something times a game, there's also going to be a lot of interceptions with that. So I give credit to the Seahawks because it's not easy when everyone, and we did it, we slammed Seattle. Like, how dare you run Russell Wilson out of town? And a year later, they look like geniuses. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Geno Smith is the long-term answer in Seattle. I would not be surprised whatsoever if there is some regression next year in Seattle, especially at that quarterback position. But I look back at this, you see the respect in the way that the perception of the Seahawks organization has changed the last 10 years, and a lot of different people, right, get the credit. You look at Pete Carroll and then also John Schneider, it speaks volumes to what people think about them in that organization that they elected to side with those two compared to the quarterback. And Hickey, you know this, in our sports society now, I would say probably like 8 or 9 times out of 10, the player usually wins out compared to the coach or compared to the general manager or the front office executive. So I look at this report today, it's not surprising that Russ tried to do it because we're all saying, like, why wouldn't Russ try to go get Pete Carroll and John Schneider fired and say, guys, keep me and we'll go bring in someone else. But I think the bigger part of this is just a further reflection a year later, and maybe things change in the next 2-3 years, that Seattle knew what they were doing from the start, and even they have doubted Russell Wilson multiple times. And at the end of the day, so far, Seattle got it right, and I give them a lot of credit because they made a decision that most of us listening right now would have, even if we're going to say, oh yeah, I would have made that decision now just with the way that it played out, but a year ago, there's no chance in, you know what, that you would have ever made that decision, Hickey.
Right. No one saw this drop off from Russ and the Broncos in 2022 than, you know, this time last year when the trade was made. Like, oh, wow, Broncos won. Denver, you idiots. Like, what are you thinking? I mean, I was one of the first people to say, fire Pete Carroll, fire John Schneider, keep Russ. And for 1 year so far, it has worked out in Seattle's favor. Like I said, they made a decision that is extremely hard that I think not a lot of teams would have made, to be honest, even with all that Pete Carroll's accomplished. The quarterback is the most important position in all sports. It's so hard to find a great quarterback to where if you get one, if it was me, at least as an owner, I would say I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep him. If that means firing a coach who's won a Super Bowl, so be it. And Seattle made a, at the time, unpopular decision. 1 year in, so far so good, but Russell Wilson still has a chance to kind of turn the narrative around here and still has a chance to make them look bad in the next 3 or 4 years.
Well, the only way that he can make them look bad is if he goes out there and wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, if he just makes the playoffs next year, all right, you rebounded. But the reason why you drove yourself out of town is you thought you had to be the guy, the star, and the offense had to go through your arm and mainly your arm. And you had to throw the ball at this ridiculous rate, let Russ cook and all of that. You won a Super Bowl in Pete's way. If you don't win a Super Bowl in Denver, it does change the way that we're going to view Russell Wilson, where we always get into that those debates like, is it the system? Like, how great is an actual player? All that. And I think a lot of it is intertwined. Like, you need good coaching. You need good players to win. But Russ got insecure about that perception about him, that it was more the Legion of Boom. It was more Marshawn. It was more Pete. And he was like, bleep that. I got to be the star. And the more and more, and I know a lot of this is just things that we all thought were happening, and it just like rehashes it and just makes it, I guess you could say, fact. I know Russ is going to deny it, but I don't think Russ gets the benefit of the doubt. So Russ coming out today and saying, yeah, I didn't try to get those guys fired. Like, I don't believe you for a single second. All right. And you're also the same guy that walked up to Pete Carroll was like, oh, our relationship, even after pretty much requesting a trade, it's wonderful. When they did that press conference leading into his final season of the year, we all knew it was cringeworthy. We all knew it was wrong. But when you get more of these articles that come out and it paints through sourcing what was really going on, not only in Denver, but also in the demise in Seattle. It just continues to make me question Russell Wilson. And I know they brought in Sean Payton, and I know that he's going to hold Russ accountable. But you could bring in someone. I don't want to say that Sean's a drill sergeant, but he does have a lot of clout, and he is someone that his voice carries a lot of weight. But is Russ even going to be willing to listen? Like, in the interim, he may. Yeah, this is the guy that I wanted in Seattle. Now I get him in Denver. But if you don't win right away, or if you don't like how something is going, how long are you going to believe in this coach? And Hickey, the more and more you read and you hear and you've seen what has unfolded the last year, the more and more that I move away from trusting Russell Wilson. And I'm not expecting this to wind up with a happy ending in Denver. We're like, we're looking at Russell Wilson, and he's on the trophy stage in a few years from now or next year, holding up a Lombardi trophy. I don't trust Russell Wilson. I can't trust him.
Fair. I mean, there's no reason to trust him, but I think that part of the reason for my optimism or renewed optimism is that I don't think you have to trust Russell Wilson because it's not really in his hands anymore. It's in Sean Payton's hands. And I think he was embarrassed enough.
For now, yes.
Nationally, where I think he kind of realized his lane, and I think he realizes if I don't want that to happen again, I kind of got to listen to Sean. I can't run the ship the way I want it to happen, because we kind of saw when he was a driver, he crashed the car extremely bad, or the ship, I guess I should say. Crashed the ship terribly.
But that's in the interim right now. That old Russ could eventually creep back up if he doesn't like the way that things are going. Like, just because you bring in Sean, and I think it's for everyone, like, right? Like, let's say you have an embarrassing moment, Hickey, and you realize you messed something up. And then, I don't know, Spike comes over to you, and he goes, okay, we're going to set you up with this person to try to restore the image. Eventually, those inner demons and those personal demons that you have and those voices in your head are going to pop back up, and that insecurity is still there of, I got to win and I got to do it my way. And if you don't see the results right away, I do wonder how patient Russell Wilson's going to be with Sean. And I think Sean's a tremendous hire. It's a move that they had to make. I trust Sean, and I know Russell Wilson was a really good quarterback for a long time, but I can't sit here and confidently say that Russell Wilson, after having all the power last year, and now a lot of the power be taken away, especially knowing what that contract is and how many draft picks that they gave up for him, is going to necessarily listen to every single word that Sean says. And even if he does, and even if he has a positive attitude, let's just look at that conference. How about just a division? Mahomes ain't going anywhere. Herbert, you'd think, is only going to continue to get better and better. Who knows what the Raiders do this offseason? And then you're in an AFC. When you look at the other teams that right now has Trevor Lawrence, you have Joe Burrow, you have Josh Allen. You know, we'll see what happens with like a Deshaun Watson and a Tua Tagovailoa. You know, Lamar Jackson, if he stays in Baltimore, if he stays in the AFC. There's a lot working against you where even if you're receptive to everything you're getting, I don't know if it will still lead to what is the ultimate goal of a championship, or how about just say bare minimum, a division title, which I think is going to be tough just on its own because Mahomes is in that division.
You wonder, you're questioning if Russell Wilson, I guess, will lose patience, will lose belief in Sean Payton and kind of revert back to doing what he wants. This is what I'll say. I think he has lost the benefit of the doubt, and rightfully so. If he wants to pull those shenanigans,
nationally,
I think the Broncos are saying, see you later. Like, they would pick Sean Payton over Russell Wilson. So you want to do that,
a lot
like,
of dead cap,
where are you going to go? Like, if you're Russell Wilson, you do that, then you're out of there.
Some team will eventually take him. Some team,
really,
will,
some team will, but
you know the arrogance
doing,
of these now, coaches.
Then you're going down, not a similar career path exactly, but you are kind of venturing into Carson Wentz territory of just, like, you can't be trusted, man. And, like, you keep thinking it's someone else and not you. You're going to find out pretty soon you're going to derail your entire career.
You're thinking it from a logical, sane standpoint. You're thinking it from an angle of, you're not an athlete where ego always plays a role. I don't know this Russell Wilson. The Russell that we used to think we know is long gone, and I don't know if he's going to be able to find that old Russ, because that ego is just so out of control and he's in this alpha male sport, and I don't know what to expect the rest of the way. And just, even if he's all bought in, once again, that division with Mahomes and Herbert is an absolute monster, and also the entire AFC. So even if you get Mahomes, even if you get Wilson back to a good spot, I don't even know if it's going to be good enough. Because Pete Carroll, the last coach, basically just told you, we don't even think he's that great. And they were with him for a decade. So that, to me, I just think there's a lot of factors here where they brought in the right coach and it will be better than what it was last year. But what does better really mean? Like, it was so bad last year. And that standard for Russ, fair or not, for the foreseeable future, you know you're going to be held. If you want to go down as one of the all-time greats, you better go win another Super Bowl, because this is the way that you wanted to do it. And so far, 1 year in, it was a disaster. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
I got a simple question. And Hickey, I've asked you this before, but I'm going to ask it again. Do you think Russell Wilson at all regrets forcing his way out of Seattle? Like, with everything that has gone on the last year, then the article today, which basically just details it all, do you think down deep, even though he'll never admit it publicly, do you think part of him goes, maybe I messed up, maybe I shouldn't have requested a trade from Seattle?
I'm still going to say no.
See, that to me is a problem. And here's why. Because we talk about him being receptive, right, to Sean Payton, and him realizing that he has to change his approach, or the idea that maybe he realizes he needs to change his approach for this to work in Denver. At one point, Pete Carroll and him were as close could be, where they gave Matt Flynn that ridiculous contract off one game. Russ comes in training camp, and they go, okay, we're going to trust this late-round draft pick, or what, third or fourth-round draft pick, whatever Russell Wilson was, and we're going to give him the keys to the franchise. And no matter whenever a teammate in that locker room had a problem with how the standard was different for Russ and how the kitty gloves were on for Russ and other guys were treated much differently than Pete Carroll, that relationship between those two got so bad where Russ wasn't willing to at all compromise with Pete Carroll. Because if you remember, when we had Jake Heaps on this show at the impetus of this all, I said to Jake Heaps, there's got to be a compromise. Like, Russ has to realize that, yes, when you're getting the opportunity to be the guy that's saying that is cooking, let's just say, right? Let Russ cook. And you're throwing all these touchdown passes, you're throwing the ball a lot more than what you normally are. Pete Carroll's basically saying your interceptions are also going up. And I don't think Pete was saying, hey, we got to go run the ball 45 times a game and only pass the ball 15. He just wanted to lower and decrease a little bit the passing attempts so you could also take away some of the interceptions. And the fact that Russell Wilson, with how loyal Pete Carroll was to Russell Wilson, how close they were, was not even willing to compromise to him, it just makes me wonder, even though he's all on board with Sean, reportedly wanted to bring Sean into Seattle, and now has Sean with them in Denver, I'm just willing when there are some tough times, or wondering when there are some tough times in Denver, because it's not going to be an easy fix. They got a lot of work to do, and there's a lot working already against them just because of the division they're in. If he wasn't willing to compromise with Pete, like, what makes me believe that he's going to be willing ultimately at the end of the day to be able to compromise with Sean Payton? Like, that's the tough part for me to wrap my head around.
Well, I mean, there is a difference. Sean Payton's an offensive mind, so he's someone who's had a lot of success already with guys like Drew Brees, winning Super Bowls, getting him to the Hall of Fame. So if you're Russell Wilson, going from a defensive-minded, conservative head coach in Pete Carroll, it worked, albeit, don't get me wrong, but I think it's a lot easier to buy into Sean Payton when you've seen the success he's had for a long time being an offensive-minded coach. I think it's easy for Russell Wilson to buy into the offensive scheme that he is pushing, Sean Payton, that is.
But no one trusted Russell Wilson more. No one was a backer more of Russell Wilson when no one was a backer of Russell Wilson than Pete Carroll. Like, those guys had a tight bond. I don't care if it's offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, whatever it is. Those guys were as tight could be. And even then, Russ wasn't even willing to budge. Like, that just kind of shows me, yes, I get believing in yourself and wanting to do things your way, but Russ is a bad listener. So what makes me think that now all of a sudden, even though Sean is also like a Hall of Fame, going to be a Hall of Fame coach just like Pete, and they both won a Super Bowl, and they both done things in places that never happened before, like in New Orleans and Seattle, what makes me think that it's going to be this much different this time around? Just because Sean's background is the offensive side of the ball? If they don't win, like, put it this way. If they don't win the playoff, if they don't get to the playoffs this year, Hickey, do you think Russ, after, if he caters an entire year to Sean, if they don't make the playoffs, which I think is a tough ask to do this year, if they don't make the playoffs, like, is Russ going to that quickly say, oh, not that he's going to ask for Sean Payton to be fired, because I don't think he has much leverage there, but is part of him going to say, I don't really trust Sean that much because I listened to him entire year, and what really changed? What, we had two extra wins or something like that? Like, that's the tough part for me, is Russ going to be willing to listen and listen constantly and habitually? And when I look at the end with his relationship with Pete, someone that trusted him a lot, and they had a relationship, and Pete believed in Russ when no one really believed in Russ, if he wasn't even willing to listen to Pete at the end, what makes me think that he's going to constantly listen to Sean Payton?
Well, again, I think it's just the different offensive beliefs. Sean Payton is more aggressive. He is someone who, again, does play to a quarterback and a quarterback's strengths. Or Pete Carroll is basically saying, no, 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 Mr. Conservative. You talk about, you know, Pete loving Russ. At the end, he didn't trust him whatsoever. That offense was very bland, very conservative.
Well, he didn't trust him to throw the ball like 40 times a game.
The offense, they reined it back in. That's the reason why Russell Wilson did not like Pete Carroll.
Well, if Sean is this brilliant offensive-minded coach, which we all think he is, do you think he's gonna? Do you think Sean will believe the best way to win with Russ is to now go throw the football 40 times a game? And I know how aggressive Sean likes to be, but if Pete Carroll's basically telling you that didn't work, I think Sean has a lot of respect for Pete. And we basically just saw, when you let Russ cook the last 2-3 years, it's not really conducive to winning. Sean's got to think about the other 52 guys, and that could hurt the feelings a little bit of Russell Wilson.
I mean, there's different ways to skin a cat. So, I mean, you look at their offense in New Orleans, they threw the ball about 40 times a game, didn't have much of a run game, and won a lot of games. So, yeah, I do think they could throw the ball 40 times a game and
win. In a dome.
And win a lot.
In a dome.
Okay. I think Denver's, I mean, it's not really that much of a cold weather climate compared to, you know, other cities. I think it's a little overblown weather-wise, but also Russell Wilson's arm strength, I don't think, is decreasing, so that still is not an issue.
I don't know what Russell Wilson is anymore. I really don't. I'm not telling you he's a bad player, but I'm not telling you he's a great player. And that ego is really becoming insufferable. The lack of accountability is insufferable. And I understand, right, in an alpha male sport, you got to kind of mark your territory, but you also have to listen. And I don't know how well anymore Russell Wilson takes to coaching, when this year, and I get it, Nathaniel Hackett was a bad head coach, he was basically the coach of the football team. And look how poorly it went. So I would have major, major trust issues with Russell Wilson. I don't know how long he's going to be willing to buy in to this new way. And if it doesn't work immediately, then it would not surprise me in the slightest if he is a problem a year or two from now. So I just, by the way, going to the Russell Wilson tweet, I love Pete and he was a father figure to me, and John believed in me and drafted me as well. I never wanted them fired. All any of us wanted was to win. I'll always have respect for them and love for Seattle. If we have Russell Wilson in studio right now, and we hooked him up to a lie detector test, Hickey, and I said to him, did you want John Schneider and Pete Carroll fired at the end in Seattle? He would say no. That would 100% come back as a lie. That tweet today, Russ also doesn't know when to sit one out. He doesn't know when to sit one out on social media. Didn't know when to sit one out this year. Constantly did that stupid Broncos country, let's ride, even when they had these bad performances. Like, today, is there any need to respond to this story? Is there, like, what do you gain from, we all know you tried to get these guys fired. What is there to gain to say, oh, I never got them fired? Like, just sit one out. It's the offseason. You didn't have to comment today.
I have no problem with it.
Just you believe that?
Tweet out. No, absolutely not. But I think if you're Russell Wilson, it's just if I think the more you're silent, the more the story controls you instead of the other way. I don't believe this to you whatsoever.
But what's the point of lying?
But at least you can just on the record say, I didn't do it. That's a lie. Save yourself.
How does he save himself? He knows it's not true, and everyone realized it isn't true. He would have been better off saying nothing, or he would have been better off just saying, yeah, I did try to get them fired, and I was wrong. Something like that. I mean, I know it would never happen, but to just tweet out, oh, yeah, I love these guys, and I never tried to get them fired, that's a bunch of baloney. You're better off just saying nothing. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we got some odds out for the next team of Lamar Jackson, and there's one team that I wasn't thinking about that could pursue Lamar Jackson, and now I am. I'll tell you that team is on the other side.
What if you could make fresh, delicious meals at home without the stress of planning, prepping, or cleaning up? Introducing Tavala. Tavala is a first-of-its-kind meal service that makes eating well effortless. By combining a countertop smart oven with delivered meals, just scan a QR code to cook dinner. First, choose from a variety of chef-crafted meals delivered weekly to your door. When you're ready to eat, just do 1 minute of easy prep. Next, scan your meal's QR code with the Tavala Smart Oven, while the oven automatically switches between modes and temperatures for the perfect cook. Just sit back and relax. Your food's ready in 25 minutes or less. No shopping, no chopping, no cleanup. Simplify mealtime today with Tavala. Go to Tavala.com now to save $150 on a Tavala Smart Oven when you agree to order meals 6 times. That's T-O-V-A-L-A.com. Promo applied automatically at checkout. Tavala. Eat well effortlessly. Tavala.com.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
We talk about Russell Wilson and how life away from Pete Carroll and the Seahawks has not been better or easier for Russell Wilson. It makes you wonder, will life away from the Baltimore Ravens and John Harbaugh, if Lamar Jackson goes down this road, which I think he will it end up hurting him? And even though the Ravens are a tremendous organization, I think the answer is no. And here's probably why. Because any other team he's going to go to, he's going to have better weapons around him, you would think. Like, you look at the wide receiving group in Baltimore, it's abysmal. And you know that Lamar Jackson wants a number one wide receiver. And I get the entire offense in Baltimore is really catered around Russ, is catered around Lamar Jackson and how great Lamar Jackson can be. But you look at then the future of the Ravens, if they get rid of Lamar, like what does that team become on the offensive side of the ball? They need to go through a major identity shift. So I look at the odds for Lamar Jackson. And you just see some of the teams that are mentioned. Like, he goes to the Falcons. You're going to have Kyle Pitts as a tight end. I know you have Mark Andrews right now. You know, you will have improved receivers as well when you look at someone like a Drake London and what he was able to do. The Jets, you have Garrett Wilson. That's better than anything the Ravens have. The Raiders, who are right now at plus 450. You have Davante Adams and probably Josh Jacobs coming back. If he goes to Tampa, you have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You know, the Patriots are the one where they don't have a lot of offensive weapons. So maybe that's one, but then you're getting to play for Bill Belichick, the Panthers. You got DJ Moore. If you go to San Francisco, you got Christian McCaffrey and also Deebo Samuel. And the Commanders, you got Terry McLaurin as well. So I go through all those potential destinations. And all the odds that are out there right now for the next home of Lamar Jackson. Like, Hickey, I don't know about you, but I don't think there's a spot, really, that Lamar gets traded to that's in reason. Like, I know the Patriots are plus 750. I don't think that's likely that that's going to happen. But all those other teams that I mentioned, the Falcons, the Jets, the Raiders, Tampa, Carolina, the 49ers, the Commanders, if that's the field, if those are the teams that are pursuing Lamar Jackson, you know, maybe the Lions get into the mix. They have Amon-Ra St. Brown. Right away, he's walking into a place that there's better weapons, I would say, especially in the wide receiving game. Like, I know they have Mark Andrews and J.K. Dobbins should be a good back, but he's been hurt the first 2 years of his career. I think there's just going to be an upgrade in weapons for Lamar Jackson wherever he goes?
I would say outside of Atlanta, just because still I'm a little, I think that's the worst roster of any team that you mentioned so far with the Falcons. Otherwise, I would agree. Yeah, you go to the Jets, you go to the Commanders, you go to the Raiders. It's an upgrade over what he's had so far in Baltimore the last few years, especially skill position-wise.
Yeah, and you look at the Falcons. Like, I think Drake London's going to be a good player. Tyler Ogier had a good rookie year. You still have Cordarrelle Patterson there, Kyle Pitts. So it's not like the greatest weapons in the world, but is it that much different than Baltimore? Like, just for starters, if let's say he goes to Atlanta, is it that? I know Mark Andrews is a stud, but is it really that much different?
Not terrible. I'd still give it, you know, Baltimore the edge, but that's also part of it. Like, if we're talking about, you know, a slim difference, well, if he's going to get an upgrade, I would not say it's in Atlanta right now.
And then also, at least Atlanta has shown in the last, what, 15, 20 years that they're willing to go get that big wide receiver, whether it was having Julio Jones there. I know they had Calvin Ridley, who was well on his way to being a number one wide receiver in the league. You know, they eventually did go out there and they got the tight end in Tony Gonzalez later on in his career. Roddy White was there. So they've done a good job with receivers in Atlanta. So I would think if you're bringing in Lamar, they would, even though they just drafted Drake London, they would try to probably go out and get another big wide receiver as well. But anyway, when you go through all those teams, I've never really considered the 49ers making a play for Lamar Jackson. Their odds right now are at plus 1,200. The 49ers absolutely should go on out and try to do as much as they can that's possible to land the services of Lamar Jackson. At first, and this is probably why I didn't think about it, I'm like, oh, well, what's their draft capital? You know, they gave up so many picks for Trey Lance. They also gave up so many picks to go get Christian McCaffrey. I know they don't have a first-round pick this year, but they have two first-round picks upcoming, one in 2024 and then one in 2025. And you could also offer to the Ravens Trey Lance. Now, I don't know how the Ravens view Trey Lance, so that could be a moot point. But if you offer Trey Lance and then two first-round picks as just the basic framework of that deal, I do think that is enticing if you're the Baltimore Ravens. Like, if you're Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh and you realize that this relationship with Lamar Jackson is fractured beyond repair, and if you're the 49ers, it's a move that you should definitely pounce. I know Lamar hasn't had a lot of playoff success yet. I know he has not won a Super Bowl yet, but this guy's been a unanimous MVP. He's a great player. And if you could plug that quarterback into an offense that has Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel, from a speed standpoint, good luck stopping that. And the NFC outside of Philadelphia is really wide open. And you look at the 49ers, like, they've had success with Brock Purdy, Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, those guys clearly pale in comparison to the type of quarterback and the elite type of quarterback that Lamar Jackson has been and can continue to be in this league. So I really have not thought about the Niners making a play for Lamar Jackson. But if I'm John Lynch, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm in constant contact with the Baltimore Ravens and just seeing how close they are into entertaining those phone calls about potentially trading Lamar Jackson. Because that risk, and I know you're giving up a lot more draft capital, and I know you're giving up a lot of draft capital, that risk is worth that potential reward of being Super Bowl champions. And we all know the 49ers have been so close the last 3 or 4 years, and maybe it's the best of both worlds. You get the best quarterback that you've had in a while, and then for Lamar, you get put in a better situation, and you would think that would translate to postseason success that, unfortunately, Lamar's never really had in his career so far, in his short, young career in the NFL.
I guess the thing that gives you pause for the Niners specifically is Lamar's injury history the last 2 years, where we've seen for the 49ers, their biggest derailment has been injuries at the quarterback position. Whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo, whether it's Trey Lance, even Brock Purdy we saw. Like, they have lost a lot of games because their quarterback's not been healthy. I just wonder, would you give up all that draft capital, pay Lamar whatever he wants, $250 million, and then risk him not, you know, basically having the same problem next year in the future that you had the last few years?
Now, I could also argue this, and this is me not saying that Lamar intentionally sat out games at the end of the season, but there was that thought in the article the other day from people inside the Ravens organization that they wondered if Lamar got that contract in the offseason if he would have missed that postseason game. I know there was still an injury, but people were wondering, seems like he should have been back sooner. How much of that was the contract? That's just something that I would argue the other way.
And for me, that's a problem. That's a big problem. If you're missing games because you're upset with your contract, let's say it's not going to happen again. He can get paid 3 years.
Well, you get a fully guaranteed deal or whatever it is.
But if you get paid, we've seen we've seen plenty of quarterback salaries age out fast where you could look at Patrick Mahomes and where he ranks right now and say, wow, Chiefs got a bargain. So if Lamar realizes 3 years from now, he goes to San Francisco, wins the Super Bowl, maybe gets another MVP, goes, there's still five other guys now because he has the quarterback salaries reset. They're getting paid higher than me. What if all of a sudden now, an ankle injury turns into an issue where he's missing games because he wants to be number one instead of number five?
Now, I have no reason to believe, just off the basis, that this is what did happen. But if that's the case and you win a Super Bowl with Lamar, I don't care what happens in the fighting of the contract negotiations. It would be worth it. The NFC is right there for the taking. And it would also benefit Lamar if he went to the NFC as well. Because that would put him in there as, right now he's like the fifth or sixth best quarterback in the AFC. He goes right to the NFC. You could make the case he's one or two. I just think it sets him up better. Just if you don't want to say it's the 49ers, just to go to the NFC. But if you're going to go to the NFC, if I'm like Lamar, I do everything to try to go to San Francisco because they're begging for a quarterback to come in there. Also with the creativity of Kyle Shanahan, imagine what they could do. Like what they just did with Brock Purdy and Jimmy G. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.